Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Barrett, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we come to the conclusion of our studies, the names and titles of the Lord. We have spoken many times during the course of these studies. There are over 120 names and titles of the Lord. He is the most titled person in all history. We've broken these studies down. It would be impossible to consider 120 of them. So we have broken them down into broad categories. The titles are showing His divine glories, His redemptive glories, His judicial glories, His creation glories, and today, with the help of the Lord, we wish to consider His eternal glories as expressed through His titles. And the first title that we want to talk about is the Great I Am. In the third chapter of Exodus, Moses was at the backside of the desert, keeping the flock of his father-in-law, when he saw a burning bush, and he went over to the bush, and the bush was not consumed. And he wondered about it, and there was a voice came out of the bush, "Moses, remove your shoes from off your feet. You're standing on holy ground." It was the Lord. And the Lord told Moses, "I have heard the problems and the wails and the cries of the children of Israel, and I've come down to deliver them, and I'm going to send you to be their deliverer." Immediately Moses began to drag his feet. He did not feel that he was capable of doing so, but the Lord stayed with it, and he made it very plain to Moses, "I want you to go and tell the children of Israel." Now we read in verse 13 of that third chapter, "And Moses said unto God," he's objecting now, notice please, "And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come to the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say to the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." Now this title, I am, means that he lives in the eternal present. There is no past and no future to God. We are creatures of time. God is a creature of eternity. He is indeed the timeless personage, the Godhead. And the I Am tells us so much about him. I Am is the greatest fact in the universe. He is the great I Am. What are you going to do about it? You have to accept it. And he is I Am in the sense that he is timeless. Now here, he tells Moses. God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say to the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Here we have the authority of his name. He sent Moses to deliver Israel. Now I would like to notice the power of his name, spoken when he was apprehended in the garden in John chapter 18. The power of this name, I Am. And let me mention, incidentally, that many times, I think in the neighborhood of 30 times in the Gospel according to St. John, the Lord uses this title, I Am, and he makes the most profound statements after he reveals his title. He is the person who has the authority to speak. He is the great I Am. Now notice, please, the power of his name as expressed in the 18th chapter of John. They come to apprehend the Lord Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. Judas led the army, a small army out there, and they found the Lord Jesus. Verse 2, Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place where Jesus oftentimes resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am. Now, the authorized version has it, I am he. But the he is in italics, meaning that it is not in the original language. He uses his title. That's the force of it. I am. And Judas also, which betrayed him stood with them. As soon then as he said unto them, I am, they went backward and fell to the ground. They simply fell stunned. I am. They couldn't move. Then they ask him again, and then he repeats what he says, but he says this is a repetition. He does not use the power of his name. The power of his name is great. He is the great I am. Now let's pass on quickly to the fact that one of the titles that the Lord has given, in the book of Revelation particularly, is the Alpha and the Omega. This speaks of his eternal glory. We read in chapter 1, there are four times in the book of Revelation where the Lord Jesus refers to himself. He gives himself this title. I am the Alpha and the Omega. In chapter 1, we read in verses 7 and 8, Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall bewail because of him, even so, amen. And then we read on, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come. Now here, he refers in condescension to the past, which was, and in condescension to the future, which is to come, the Almighty. But you notice how he puts it, how he phrases it? I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, that takes precedence. That is, he's always lived in the eternal present. But which, for the condescension of you people, I was in the past, and I will be, and in eternity, the Almighty. Now, in the 22nd chapter of Revelation, our Lord Jesus Christ uses the same title again. He says in verse 12 of the 22nd chapter of Revelation, And behold, I come quickly. The Lord is the speaker. And my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the originator and the consummator, the one who originated everything and the one who is going to consummate everything. He is the eternal one. The Alpha and Omega. Incidentally, I think we would would be remiss if we would not mention the fact Alpha is the first letter in the Greek alphabet and Omega is the last letter in the Greek alphabet. So when he uses his title as the Alpha and Omega, he has the right to say the beginning and the end, the first and the last. This speaks of his eternal glories. Now, the Apostle Paul just gives us one hint in the book of 1 Timothy as to his eternal power and Godhead. We read there in verses 15 to 17 in the first chapter of Timothy the wonderful praise that Paul gives to his eternal King. We read there in verse 15, This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life. Now Paul is saying here, I'm the chief of sinners. I obstructed Christ. I persecuted his people. I held out against him. I'm the chief of sinners. And the only reason that God saved me was just to make me a model to show what his grace could do. You see how he puts it, Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life. And then here's this burst, this paean of praise. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be glory and honor forever and ever. Amen. It's the King eternal. It's the eternal glories of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the eternal King. And lastly, in the book of 1 Corinthians, we read there about the first and the last Adam. We read in verse 45 of the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Here, howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthly, and the second man is the Lord from heaven." Now, both of their names is Adam. Perhaps you didn't know that. Adam is one of the names of Christ, because he is the federal head of a race, a spiritual race. Adam was the federal head of an earthly race, of a natural race, the race of men. But he was the federal head. We've all come from Adam. But here is a new Adam, the last Adam. And he is the federal head of a race, but it's a spiritual race. Now, we entered the race of the first Adam by means of a natural birth. That natural birth we did not ask for. I wasn't asked when I was brought into this world. I had nothing to say about it. But I was born into the race of Adam, the federal head of a race. But there is another Adam, the last Adam, and this shows his eternal character. He is the last. There doesn't need to be any more. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the head of a new race, and we enter his race by means of a birth. It's a spiritual birth. It's the new birth. It is that birth that is accomplished by the power of the Spirit of God when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Believe that he died for our sins upon the cross. Believe the moment that we trust him that we'll have everlasting life, as it is told out in John 3:16, told by the Lord to Nicodemus. And when we believe it, the Spirit of God, when we trust our case in Christ's hands and say, "Lord, in effect, you died for me. You purchased my salvation with your own blood. I'm yours. I want you." When we do that, when we express our faith in the Lord Jesus, the Spirit of God takes the life of Christ and puts that within you and me. Now, don't ask me how he does it, but he does it. Now, in this case, he is the last Adam, and I have something to do whether or not I'm in his race. I can keep out of it if I want to, by unbelief, or I can accept it. Will we indeed be a part of the race of the last Adam and then live in eternity with him? Our Father, today we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus for this wonderful study, the titles of our Lord Jesus. May they serve to show us just who he is. We pray in his name. Amen.